And on a slow day, I can make anywhere from $200 to $500. On a slow day, $200 to $500. I said, man, this guy's making more than I make in a week. So I was like, it was an eye opener for me, because I didn't know that that's what was going on. I didn't get it. And here it is. I felt. But that didn't stop me, though. I mean, I get it. My point is, there are career people out there that do this for a living. They make a lot of money, you know, just from being out there. They make a lot of money from panhandling, especially on a New York subway where, you know, there's a lot of, there's 10 subway cars. So if you're going in, you know, and you start at the beginning, which is their routine, they start at the first car and they move all the way back to the last car, the 10th car. Then they get, when they get to the last car, they get off at the next station and they start from the back of the last car and they move their way to the front of the car. And then when they get to the front of the car, they get off at the station, and then they wait for the train, get on the first car, and work their way back. And they're doing this all day until they meet their goals, whatever they set their goals to be for that day. And then when they're done with that, they go and have their connection, cross over, and then start it over on the other side, going back to the original destination. So there's a science to it. These guys got to figure it out. They figured it out. And they're making a lot of money doing that. And it's a sad thing for those that really need it, because when some folks see that, they don't want to contribute, because they figured, why would I contribute to somebody who's really, you know, not in need, right? We never know, because here it is. This guy broke my heart looking at him and seeing that he was in need. That attracted me towards him. And sure enough, I was compelled to help him out that day. Again, I don't carry money with me, so, you know, I wasn't going to be able to do a financial thing with him, but I wanted to pray with him, and I wanted to, you know, give him some advice that day. I was moved towards that, but it was more for me. That whole process was more of a revelation for me, because I didn't know that that's what was going on. I thought these people that are out there, they truly are in need, and that's the way I saw it for years. And there were times where I gave sandwiches. There were times where I did give money financially, you know, when I did have loose change or loose dollars on me, and, you know, I would contribute to the best that I can. And I saw another situation where I have a guy that on the train saying he was hungry, and that's the way he approached it, right? That was his pitch. I'm hungry. And that day I happened to have a sandwich, you know, fresh. I didn't eat it because the company that I worked for, you know, they bought us lunch that day, and you know, I wasn't going to go to lunch with them, but they were like, Jose, just eat that sandwich tomorrow, or eat it later on, man. We're buying whatever you want to eat. So I was like, you know what? That makes sense. Okay. And that's fine, because then I can either eat the sandwich tomorrow for lunch or later on if I get hungry, or case in point, somebody on the train that was hungry. Or that was the pitch, right? And sure enough, the guy was like, I'm hungry. And I was like, here, man, I got a sandwich. And the guy was looking away from me every time that he would say, I'm hungry, I need food. And I was like, well, I got a sandwich here. And I'm almost like intercepting him. And he's like a football player going to the side. I went to that side. He went to the opposite side. It was almost like we were playing football. Like he's got the ball and I'm coming towards him, so he's moving away from me. So I'm like, wow, that was an eye-opener for me. It's vision, right? So we're talking about vision. That's the different things that I've seen. Now we focus on vision, the reality where things are sometimes not what you see, and things sometimes are not what you want to see. Like that guy, I had the sandwich and I'm bringing it to him. You're hungry, you're gonna eat. If you're, these guys that are hungry eat out of garbage cans. So this guy's agenda was something else, as you see, that he didn't want my sandwich. And I don't know, maybe it could be, it could have been a legitimate reason. Maybe he didn't trust. Maybe he got food poisoning. Maybe he don't eat meat. Or maybe he didn't, you know, he's got a special need and dieting that perhaps You know, he wasn't willing to take the chance on what I was giving him. It's possible, right? I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. That's the way I operate. Not that I'm naive and foolish. I'm wise. But I'm also open to that possibility, right? It could be that maybe he just wanted the money and he was going to go buy something that he knows where it's coming from. And he knows, he trusts that that meal was going to be prepared and he can see how it's being prepared or whatever. So I'm going to give him that. And I did, and prayed over him and just left. But vision, right? Everything that you see around you, though, started with a vision. So I give you some examples of how we visualize things, how we see things, and how sometimes we interpret certain things that we see. But I say to you that today, the message is that you visualize yourself operating in a realm where you are maximizing your potential. So if you want to be an architect, visualize it. Start thinking about, see yourself going to school, see yourself going through college, see yourself getting the funding, see yourself studying, see yourself working in that field, and move towards that. Because once you start tapping into that realm, or that spiritual realm, the spiritual realm will lead you to that vision. With that vision that you thought of and that you saw will start materializing itself to you. You will start, the Spirit will start guiding you. The Holy Spirit with your spirit unite, and it'll start guiding you towards the path, towards where the Lord has prepared you and have created you and have given you the opportunity to come to this realm to fulfill His purpose for you. And don't let anybody, I don't care who it is, sometimes it's the family, sometimes it's your own parents, sometimes it's your own siblings and families, friends, that'll try to, and it's not really them. It's not really them. It's the spirits that are behind them, these fallen spirits that don't want you to reach your maximum potential. They know who you are. They see who you are, and they want to derail that. They don't want you to be successful. They don't want you to have kingship over this kingdom that the Lord has given you a role to administer His kingdom. Whether, again, it's going to be in the business of feeding, and I'll go with Chick-fil-A, and I'll gladly always advertise and sponsor them. I don't have a sponsorship from them, but these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And obviously, I will always use them as a reference, because they are godly. It's a godly business. They're in the business of feeding God's children. And because they do it unto the Lord, this is the only organization out there in the food business, that's in the commercial food business for the public, that are closed on Sundays. All these other food, fast food places, they don't close. They're open 24/7. 8 days a week, if you let them. They're always open. But Chick-fil-A, they close on Sunday because they dedicate that day to the Lord. That's a day that they go and worship. That's the day where they let their employees go and worship. And they give them that day to go and worship. They're closed. And because they made that commitment unto the Lord to serve God's children, to feed God's children, God has opened up the doors of the windows of heaven upon that organization. And if you ever go by a Chick-fil-A, look at their parking lot. It is always busy. It is always full. You're always going to have to wait. It's supposed to be fast food, and you have to wait because there's so many people. And back in the days before the pandemic mode, I mean, inside, you couldn't shoehorn people sometimes. The seating capacity was always full. The lines are always full to order. And now the parking lot, it is always full. Monday through Saturday, it's always full. And that's because they're in the business of feeding God's children. So what you learn from that is that if you're going to be in the business, right, whatever it is you're visualizing right now, whatever the Holy Spirit has given you in the spiritual realm, and he's opened up your spiritual eyes and has showed you the path that you're going to go, pray about what it is that you're going to go. Start visualizing it and start synchronizing your spirit with the Holy Spirit so that he will open up the path for you. Now, there's a lot of places that, there's a lot of things that we want to do. There's a lot of things that, we want to do. And, you know, sometimes we think that, hey, this is the career that we want to do because, you know, somebody in the family was. Sometimes it's a family business and you want to continue with the tradition and so on and so forth. But that's not where the Lord wants you to go. The Lord sent you here to administer part of his kingdom by doing something else. And it may be in the food industry. It may be in the garment industry. It may be in the entertainment industry. It may be in the financial industry. It may be in, you fill in the blanks. It may be in the nursing, or and it may be in a physician industry. We don't know. The purpose that the Lord has for you will be revealed to you. I happen to be an engineer for a living. That is my purpose. That is my purpose as far as being here and as my career. And I went to college for that. I have my degree in computer science, and that's the field that I'm in. But my purpose, my true purpose, is to bring the word to the world and continue to point others to Christ. That is my true purpose. That's what I was sent here to do. And it all starts with a vision. How the path was open for me, how I visualize things, and how I get to do things, starts in a vision. That vision that I had of the Holy Spirit pointing and bringing me in the path that I'm in right now, starting a show like this, so this way you can hear this message. For those that are hearing it for the first time, this is word equals faith. This is what the faith is all about. This is what, you know, the word will teach you and confirm. It'll bring you to the spiritual realm where you can have an educated communication with the Holy Spirit. And in your conscience, this conversation is going to go on. So you see, all this sound that I'm making right now is because we have ears to hear. And this is another topic, another message. But this is an old technology that we're using. There was a time where we knew how to do this telepathically. We could communicate with each other telepathically. However, we lost that in the flood. And some of us could still do it, you know, not at the deep level of projecting images and so on and so forth. There's some people out there that have this telepathic ability enabled in such a way where they can feel things, and they can. It's all images, though. We lost that. We still function that way, right? Your dreams is the way your spirit communicates with the body, but it communicates in the original language that the body doesn't understand. That's why it's real hard for you to interpret dreams, because you don't speak that language, and we lost the ability to communicate in that language. So with that being said, we lost that, but we can still do it. How many times have you thought about somebody in your family, a mom or wife or a child, and you're talking spiritually first. You're communicating spiritually first. And then all of a sudden, you call or they call. And then you come together and say, man, you're not going to believe this, but man, I was just thinking about you. And they'll tell you the same thing. Man, you know what? I was just thinking about you too. The spirits communicated. That's what happened. But we don't know how to do that. We lost that ability. We can't do it at will. We lost that ability in the flood. We were able to do that at one time. And I have a message specifically on that that gives a little bit more insight on how. Again, I'm not an expert. I can't break it down 100% and tell you exactly how it works, as I myself don't know how to work. I can't do it at will, but I can do it at will with the Heavenly Father. Yet he communicates in my conscience, and this is where all those pictures and all the sounds are translated. in your conscious. You're able to the translations. There's a chamber in your mind where all this audio that I'm just producing a frequency. These are just sounds that I'm making. They're organized that you happen to speak English and you can understand. Your brain converts this signal, this analog signal, into a signal that your mind can break down and say, yeah, I understand what this guy is saying. And he speaks my language. I speak his language. And that's happening in those chambers of your mind where the sounds are being broken. And that's where the Holy Spirit will talk to you. And sometimes it becomes such a synchronization between you and the Holy Spirit that you would say, you would start to take credit for that thought and say, wow, I just thought about that, or I'm thinking about this, but it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. And how do you know? Because you're like, well, I never really knew that before. How did that come? How was that revealed to me if I never really studied that? Or if I never really paid attention, and how am I getting this knowledge? And it's coming from the Holy Spirit. He's omniscient and he's omnipresent. So he can be in us that are saved. He can be in all of us at the same time. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he's omniscient, and that's why he's omnipresent. Meaning he knows everything. He has the databases. It's completely... Google ain't got nothing on them. Sorry, strike that last comment. I don't. Only Chick-fil-A get the free commercial. But those media, any databases that we have, we're just scratching. He has all the knowledge. That's why he'll tell you go left when you were thinking about going right, and you argue about that and say, but I'm used to going left. I want to go left. Why all of a sudden do I have to make it right? And he's like, well, I'll tell you in a minute. Just be obedient. And sure enough, you make that right. And you go home and you hear that there was an accident. If you would have made a left, either A, you would have been part of that accident. Or B, you would have been in the middle of the waiting process of getting that stuff cleared. And there's been people that said it. I have my hand up where I've gotten that message, make a right. And I say, well, I always make a left, and I'm going to make a left. And when I do make that left, I'm sitting there now waiting for this accident to be cleared out. And it was a huge delay. And I lost 20 minutes of my life that I'm never going to get back because I was disobedient. I didn't listen to that. To the Holy Spirit guiding me and telling me I know more than you, because I can see it. I can see the accident, and I can see what's about to happen. So I'm telling you, go right, because that's the best thing for you right now. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He's always going to coach you to do the best things, even though we don't like it, even though we don't agree with it, and even though we don't think it's the best. It is the best for you at that present time. Well, again, brothers and sisters, I appreciate you listening to this message. Let the Holy Spirit of Jesus guide you. Well, folks, I hope you receive some value. Until the next time, until the next one, stay blessed.